TV.
Do all as unto the Lord. This is one of the greatest spiritual principles in the scriptures. It's the cure for not being appreciated, for not being appreciated. Whether you're at your job, with your kids, in your marriage, whatever you like, if you don't think you're getting your due, then do as unto the Lord. This is a real spiritual trick. It's not hard to do if you realize the Lord is real and the Lord is watching. It's not some scary Santa Claus fiction. You better not whine. You better not cry. You better not shout. I'm telling you why. Because Santa Claus is coming to town. No, this is real. This is a benevolent Lord watching over us from a great celestial perch at the right hand of God. And it's our Lord in Christ. It's our common mind. And he's just as real now as on the day he will come and retrieve us to take us to himself. Just as real now. Let me say this a different way. He will not be any more real on the day of the snatching away when you are looking into his eyes as he is right now. And so you can legitimately work for him. I am working for the body of Christ. I'm working for my wife, but I'm also working for the Lord. This is why, even when no one's looking, I don't cut corners. I mean, my dad taught me kind of this when he said, you know, if you're going to do something, you might as well do it right. I think of that every time I'm wiping down the counter and I see a couple crumbs over to the side. I said, Maria will never see those. And I used to think this when I was cutting the grass back when I lived at 510 Southwest 17th Street. I was cutting the grass for my landlady at the time, Juliana. And I'd be all done. I thought I was. And I'd be heading back to my place and I'd look over, I see this stray piece of grass sticking up. I was like, ugh. Just leave it. Nope. What did your papa tell you? If you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. And that's a good principle. This is a related principle, but it's higher. Work as unto the Lord. Pretend you're mowing the Lord's lawn. And this isn't a slavish, like, dot every I and cross every T or you're going to be punished. It's nothing like that. But pretend like you're brushing off the Lord's counter. And the Lord is pleased with a job well done. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ be arbitrating in your hearts, for which you were called also in one body. You were called for peace. And let me tell you something right now. The Lord Jesus Christ is much more lenient than your earthly overseers or your earthly partners. Much more lenient. Because here is him saying, let the peace of Christ, Christ is speaking this through Paul, let the peace of Christ be arbitrating in your hearts, for which you were called also in one body. What was I called for? Peace. That word arbitrating in the Greek, the English element is, strangely, umpire. Yeah, not even kidding. Look it up in the back of the Concordant Dictionary. Let the peace of God be umpiring in your hearts. In other words, when life is coming at you, when work is coming at you, when stresses are coming at you, watch to see if it's coming over the plate, just like an umpire does. An umpire in baseball stands behind home plate, watching the ball coming in from the pitcher and judges whether it's over the plate or not. That's an umpire. Calls balls and strikes. If you don't know anything about baseball, I'm not here to explain it to you. Go look up baseball on Wikipedia. But balls and strikes, is it over the plate? Is it not over the plate? Now, our job is to look at life's events coming at us and to judge whether this is a peaceful thing or not. If this brings peace, then you swing. If it doesn't, you let it go, let it go, let it go. Let the peace of God be umpiring in your hearts. We were called for peace. So whatever work you do, do work that brings you peace. If it doesn't bring you peace, that's the umpire in your heart. That's the Lord Jesus Christ saying, what are you swinging at all? What are you swinging at all these crummy pitches for? They're not bringing you peace. Peace is important. And this is what we were called for in one body. And become thankful. Oh boy, thankful. If you have peace, then be thankful. Sometimes we don't have peace. But don't lose your peace about not being at peace. Very important what I just told you. I'm going to say it again. Don't lose your peace if you don't have peace. This is what Paul means. Honestly, he really does. Let the peace of Christ be arbitrating in your heart. So just be peaceful. And the most important thing you can be peaceful about is not having peace. If you don't have peace, be at peace with that. Let it go. Because you're going to become unpeaceful about not having peace. My God, you're compounding the problem. I've said this before. This is my advice. It's great advice. Some of the best advice I've ever given. It's for people who are worried. I just tell them, just worry. But you know what? There are so many people who are worried about the fact that they worry. I'm worried. I'm so worried. What are you worried about? I think I worry too much. Wait a minute. Say that again. Yeah, I'm worried. You're worried about the fact that you're worried. Yeah, that's right. Pretty soon you're going to be worried about the fact that you're worried that you're worried. I feel it coming on now. This is a compounding problem. Just be worried and forget about it. Just lose your peace. Just lose it. Let it go. I lost my peace. Be at peace with that. This is the best advice you'll ever get. If you can turn an unpeaceful thing into a peaceful thing by not swinging at an unpeaceful pitch, then don't swing. Sit down. Be quiet. Don't bite. Don't bite at the disquieting thing. Because you were called for peace. And become thankful. Just be thankful for everything. In all things, be thankful. Even for the crummy shit that happens to you. Even for your crummy life. Even for the crummy details of your crummy life. Just be thankful. This is God's plan for you. If you're able to get out of it. Paul talks to slaves in one place in the scripture. He said, if you're able to get free, go ahead. Get your freedom. But if you can't get your freedom, then just be happy being a slave. Be thankful. Just work as unto the Lord. It's especially true with slavery. If anybody I'm talking to is owned by another person, there are some corners of the world where there are slaves. Perhaps I'm talking to someone who is a slave. I don't know. It's not very common in today's world. But if you can get free, do it. If you can't, then be at peace with being a slave. Because the last shall be first in the next eon. Ho-ho! That's going to go good for you. Real good for you. Now, verse 16. Let the word of Christ be making its home in you richly. Now, you don't have to read the Bible every day for this to happen. I'm assuming many of you studied scripture in the past when you were younger and you had the energy and you loved to study the word of God. See, I don't really love to study the word of God anymore. I used to love it, man. I used to dig in. And when I have to, I still do it. But it's a matter of necessity now. It's a matter of an issue coming up in the body of Christ. I just don't do it for the heck of it. I do it when there's an issue. I do it when there's a question, when there's a problem. When somebody's teaching something weird, I go to the Word of God. Then I'm inspired. But I don't sit down and say, okay, it's time to go into the Word of God and study. time. It's my study time. No, it's never my study time. Study is a matter of necessity for me. It's like Paul didn't sit down and say, I think I'm going to write a letter to the Galatians today. No, it was a matter of necessity. His scribe, Tertius, came in and said, Paul, you hear what's happening in Galatia? No, what? They're starting to cave to the circumcisionists. What? Okay, now he's writing Galatians out of necessity. But anyway, you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If it's in you, and you know more than you think you know. I know many people have memorized whole portions of Scripture. So what? I'm talking about Christians now. And they don't know any truth, but they can recite like Leviticus word for word. And they're so proud of themselves. They've read the Bible 18 times. They're so proud of themselves, but they don't know anything. They're forever learning, but never coming to a realization of the truth. This is not letting the word of Christ be making its home in you richly. Richly. Not by rote, but richly. In all wisdom, it's about wisdom, not about knowing things, not about memorizing things. Teaching and admonishing yourselves. It's about understanding God, and it's about admonishing yourselves, keeping each other straight. We're here to keep each other straight. We're not going to be ruling over anybody else, but we're going to be helping. Oh, my God. Scott Hicko. What a gracious man. I made that video yesterday when I just adjusted something he had said in a show, and he was so thankful for it. I'm not going to read the comment now, but you can go to yesterday's show. And my sister was a little worried at first. She goes, you shouldn't be critiquing Scott. He's a great guy. I said, I'm not really critiquing him. I'm just trying to be helpful with a problem he was publicly having and admitting to, and I thought I could help, and I did help, and he was thankful, and he goes, yeah, I was starting to think that way myself. I figured he was, and so I just confirmed what he was already thinking. He said, yeah, I was already kind of thinking that after I made my video, and you just confirmed it for me. Happy to help. Scott, feel free to do that for me. Other people, feel free to do that for me. I'm subject to the same criticism, to the same help. I have a desire for help. So if anybody wants to help, yeah, please do. But the word of Christ making its home in you has to do with wisdom, teaching, and admonishing yourselves. Now, this next part, I don't get at all. Like, okay, I get this. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ be umpiring, arbitrating in your hearts. I love that, because we were called for peace. Got it. Yes, we were called in one body. And become thankful. So true. We should be thankful for stuff, even the bad stuff. It's hard to do, but that's Paul's admonishment. Let the word of Christ be making its home in you richly. Oh, it's there. Oh, what I was going to say is, sometimes you don't think you know anything. Sometimes you think, you just feel dull, and you feel like you're hibernating, and you feel like, I haven't talked to anybody about Christ lately, and it feels like I've forgotten everything I've ever known. But then when somebody asks a question, suddenly you find this great well that comes rising up. See, it's just been hibernating. That's it. It's just sleeping. It's not gone. It's in you. Let the word of Christ be making its home in you. It makes its home in you. It just doesn't bubble out every minute. Some people feel guilty about that. I haven't thought about Christ in a long time. I haven't thought about the word of God in a long time. I'm not sure it even still dwells in me, let alone richly. But then somebody asks you a question. Somebody says something horrible about your God. And then, boom, you find it's there. It's there. It's there when you need it. Just like Corrie Ten Boom's train ticket. If you don't understand that reference, watch all my shows from last week. Okay, let the word of God make its home in you, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing yourselves in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. What is this? I don't know how to do this. This must have been something back in the first century. In psalms, I don't want to sing to anyone. Teaching and admonishing yourselves in psalms and hymns. I'm supposed to admonish you in a hymn. Be faithful when you sponge off the stovetop and bring it to a frosty shine. Boy, I can't do it. Psalms and hymns? I don't know any psalms. I don't read the psalms. I don't like the psalms. Is he talking about David's psalms? David, yeah. Dear Lord, kill my enemies. I don't know. There's some good stuff in the Psalms, but I don't read the Psalms. I've read them before. In hymns, like Amazing Grace, in spiritual songs. What are spiritual songs? I don't even know. People have sent me Christian music before. I've told certain people I'm depressed, and they'll send me Christian music. And I'm thinking, I hate to tell them this, but Christian music doesn't do it for me. I just think that the people singing are a bunch of hypocrites. I'd rather hear Led Zeppelin or the Beatles or some raunchy rock and roll. That makes me feel better. Please don't send me Christian music to make me feel better. I swear to you, it will not make me feel better. It will make me feel worse. Singing with grace in your hearts to God. Okay, Paul, this might be your thing, but it's not mine. I can't do this. Maybe it's a first century thing, or maybe there are people today who give thanks, who admonish one another in singing. It sounds like a musical. Like instead of just sitting down and saying, pass me the salt, you know, people in a musical, dear Phil, would you please pass me the salt? I don't know. What is this? I'm sorry. Verse 17, and everything whatsoever you may be doing in word or in act, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all for the Lord. Getting back to my original point, give thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is proper in the Lord. This only applies to wives in a body of Christ marriage. Wives are not required to be subject to their husbands in any other kind of marriage other than a body of Christ marriage, where both believers are in the body of Christ. No, I take that back. If the wife is in the body of Christ, then she should know to be subject to her husband, even if he's not a member of the body of Christ. Which is not to say that she should do illegal things. If the husband tells her to, you know, go out and rob the bank, we need some extra money this month to pay the cable bill. No, don't do it. This is for members of the body of Christ. Husbands, love your own wives and be not bitter toward them. Okay, well, this seems pretty universal to me. And if a husband would happen to have an unloving wife, it doesn't mention anything about the worthiness of the wife. So if there's a husband out there in the body of Christ who has a wife who's a member of the body of Christ but who is a pain in the ass, or is married to a person who's not in the body of Christ, do this anyway. This is where do it as to the Lord comes in perfectly. We're going to see that as I go on. Wives, okay, husbands, love your own wives. It doesn't say that love your lovable wives. It just says love your own wives and be not bitter toward them. I can't add anything to that. I'm not saying it's easy to do, but it gets easier when you see how Paul gives you a trick of how to do it. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things. This is always good. For any children listening, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. If there's a young person, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, listening to me, just obey your parents. And if you're a believer, if you're watching this show in your room, your mom and dad don't know, you're a secret believer, maybe you're 8 years old, you think, I like Martin Zender, I learn a lot, I'm learning about the eons, I'm learning about the salvation of all, I'm learning about the sovereignty of God, I'm learning that the Tories are completely wrong about the non-preexistence of Christ, and I know why. Thank you, Martin Zender. Well, you're a very smart 8-year-old, and I appreciate your patronage, and I honor you and thank you, and when the moment is right, introduce this show to your parents. In the meantime, if your parents tell you to go to bed at 9, okay, I'm going to have to tell you to go to bed at 9. I mean, I'm tempted to say, you know, I'm sure you have a cell phone. Most kids do. I'm tempted to say it's right to sneak your cell phone into bed at night under the covers and watch MZTV. But I must say to you, don't do it. Obey your parents. Go to bed at 9. You can watch my show when you wake up. Because it's well-pleasing to the Lord to obey your parents, even if you don't like your parents. God forbid, I hope you like your parents. They went through a lot of trouble to raise you. It's not easy to raise a kid, so they're doing a lot for you. I mean, you have a cell phone. You're watching MZTV, so you know, you have it pretty good. And the Lord is happy. I'm not saying the Lord is going to, like, come down on you if you don't, because we are promoting, I am promoting a gospel of the grace of God. So even when you screw up, the Lord is gracious. And so there's nothing you can do, my friend, whether you're a boy or a girl, nothing you can do to get out of the body of Christ. You're sealed. God has chosen you from before the disruption of the world. You believe that Jesus Christ died. Yes, I know you do, because you're a child, and I am a child in an adult suit. I believe as a child, the simple truth, Jesus Christ died. You believe that. I thank God for you. And you believe that he died for your sin. He took care of everything for you. You can't somehow miraculously believe your way into Christ on your own. You know that it was God in Christ who did everything for you, including taking away your sins. So you're in the body of Christ. Thank God. Thank God. Fathers, do not vex your children, lest they may be disheartened. Give your kids a break out there. You have to discipline them, yes. You can't let them get away with a lot of stuff, yes. But just don't harp on them a lot. Have some leeway. Pick your battles. You can't get on them for every little thing. You will vex them. You have to take care of the big things. Yes, bedtime is a big thing if they're 8 years old. If they're 23, not so much. You got to know when to let go. This is easier for fathers than mothers. I know mothers who can't let go of mothering their children, and they vex them. This is advice to fathers. Fathers, do not vex your children. Much easier for fathers not to vex their children. Mothers usually vex the hell out of their children. This is difficult to not do. If there are any mothers out there, and I know there are, members of the body of Christ, this advice goes for you too. Don't vex your children. Slaves, if you're a slave watching this on your day off, assuming you have a day off, I don't know. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. These are your masters only according to the flesh. They're not your masters in the spiritual realm. Christ is your master in the spiritual realm, not with eye slavery as man pleasers. Here it is. But with singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. So do it as unto the Lord, not as unto your master. All, whatever. I finally get into the verse with 1 minute to go. All, whatsoever you may be doing. Verse 23, Colossians 3. Work from the soul as to the Lord and not to humans. As to the Lord. Work from the soul. Let it feel good. This is something that's good for you. That's what it means, as to work from the soul. Work with a happiness. Work with contentment. Even if you have to do something like shoveling up the dog crap in the backyard, like I had to do as a kid. Our dog, Buff, we just put her out on the chain, and she kept pooping. We wanted her to poop outside. We didn't want her to poop inside, and she learned. I go poop outside, not inside. Oh, they put me out here, and I know I go down this hill, and I poop out here. And then Martin's going to come up and scoop the poop. Yeah, do it with joy as unto the Lord. The Lord is pleased. Oh, you missed one there. Oh, thanks, Lord. And shovel it in. Being aware that from the Lord you will be getting the compensation of the enjoyment of an allotment. For the Lord Christ are you slaving. I don't have any more time. Sorry, it's out. I gotta go right now. I want to say more on that, but just do your work as unto the Lord. It makes it a lot easier when you're looking far off and doing it for him than doing it immediately for someone that potentially you don't like.